Yeah, that's right. Love that smile. That smile says, I've had a cracker of a morning where people just won't stop banging on. And now it's nice to be here in a quiet room.
Yeah.
When I came in, good morning, everyone. First of all, I should say, when I came and saw you just now, picked you up from the office, you had the look of a, you had the look on the face of a lady that said, I've already had somebody speak a million words at me and I don't want to do any more listening or speaking. Is that fair enough?
No, well, it's always down to the wire with us, isn't it? So we try and cram as much in as we can. And plus, it's the Easter holidays still. So talk about wearing 13 different hats and trying to make it all work. So,
but we're bossing it. We're absolutely. I'm going to give myself just a little one of those and see. Yeah, we're doing okay. Everyone's fed and watered. Okay, yep. The roof's still on the house. Okay,
yeah,
bills are getting paid. None of our children or animals have shat themselves. It's, yeah, I mean, bottom line, we're doing pretty well, really.
That's the standard. Yeah.
For me, that's the benchmark of parental success. Okay, it's like food, water, shelter, bowel movements. If you get those, like, if you get those categories nailed down, right, everything else can wait.
Time for gin time.
Right? And what's the time? It's 9. That's not 9:26. That clock's wrong. It's 10:26, isn't it?
Where's the bar?
Where is the butler? Yeah, I know where's the
butler. We've got one upstairs, actually.
Shout out to Ryan, top man, the other sharpest dressed man here in the co-working space. He's a good man. But I digress. Anyway. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. So, very pressing issues.
Issues, dear.
So, yeah, lots happening behind the scenes.
Yes.
To fill you in a bit, we've been very active with Lingo Tribe, as you heard in the last episode. Our cohorts, the second one is nearly full.
Yep.
So both sold out and we're really happy to get started. And there's a lot happening. We're building a community space. We've got live events planned in real life, like 3D. Huggable territory.
Huggable territory. I've got to get it right first time as opposed to when it's a podcast and I can cock it up as many times as I want. Sorry, Felix.
So we want to, we want to get people together.
Absolutely. Right? I can't wait personally. I had a really good feeling about it when we had the idea. I had a really, really good feeling about it when we wrote the material. And I have a super duper feeling about it now, having gone out to our broader audience with whom we have great rapport, you know, the people we know on LinkedIn. Yeah, we don't know each other's innermost dirty secrets or anything, but we don't have to. I don't want anybody to know mine, but the point is that we have it sounds so cliche, but we do have a real connection with the people we're linked to, and certainly the people that are coming on board for Lingo Tribe, for both cohorts. It's going to be super exciting because it's going to be full access, genuine. Okay, there are going to be mistakes made along the way. It's going to be slightly edgy and indeed rough around the edges.
That's fine.
But it is liquid gold because it is everything that is born out of our experience of what it is that got us here to this point today, to be sat here and doing this and, you know, working with the people that we work with. You know, it's
The most important thing is to get started in the first place and to not let yourself be don't get yourself be hindered by your own perfectionism.
Agreed.
Just stop procrastinating out of fear
that
it might not work. Yeah. Just go out. And that's where we pivot and we're so fast in adapting.
Absolutely. You have to be.
Yeah, it's the minimum viable product, isn't it?
Yeah,
MVP.
MVP. And in that spirit, creating your MVP is all about the broad strokes. You have to, in my opinion, dispense with this desire to get every single iron or every single crease ironed out and every single detail right. That's not what it's about, because ultimately you will not start. Yeah. If you obsess over getting a perfect plan and then getting its execution bang on, it's much better. If you have something that has real intrinsic value but is rough around the edges, get it out there and get working with it. Because ultimately, for every day that you don't get it out there, you're costing the users the benefit of that knowledge.
Yes. You almost have a responsibility and a duty once you've got this idea and the fire.
Yeah.
A duty to get them out there.
100%.
In real time and not like in 5 years down the line eventually and then the fire's gone, the world has moved on. Because let's be honest, I mean, especially social media, is it is an ever-evolving place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why we've moved as quickly as we have with Lingo Tribe. And it's not a bare bone structure. It's a well-designed course, but it is something that will evolve over time. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited about that. I can't wait. So it's what, the 15th we start? Next Monday, right?
Next week. Monday group and Tuesday group. So if you haven't yet and you're a linguist, come join us. We've got two spaces available for the Tuesday group.
Yeah. And the first one is already booked up, so
it'll be a laugh.
Oh, it's going to be real shits and giggles. Yeah. It's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, for us also, because it's not about us. It's about what we bring to the group, but ultimately giving those a stage who are extremely talented and are maybe struggling for work, or maybe they're new to the linguist job market, or they've hit a few dry spells, or they just want to increase their income. It's giving those a space and a stage.
Absolutely. Case in point, talking to Elisa yesterday, really great conversation. Budding translator, has been qualified for a little while now. And we had a chat yesterday where she said struggling to find clients, hasn't had clients for quite some time. She's busy with other things, but wants to move into translation. And when she explained to me how she's gone about doing it, and how she sees the translation market in particular, I was stunned, because I was like, your perception of the market is 30 years old. The translation market just does not work like that anymore. Any translator out there, and I don't care how experienced you are, how qualified you are, okay, if you are still looking at it as a specialization industry, one where, you know, you have to do stuff that is extremely difficult or sophisticated, requires a lot of your time, a lot of effort, and there's a significant chance that you're going to cock it up in some way, okay? You're going to struggle. Okay, translation used to be a specialization business. It is, in my opinion, and based on my experience, a volume business. Okay, and we will go into great depth on that, with a view to showing translators who are maybe haven't started or are just starting how you can go and create a viable, predictable income as a translator in a relatively short space of time if you just change your perspective and change your focus a little bit. So anyway, there we go. Yeah.
Same goes for copywriting.
Same for copywriting. Same for localization. Absolutely. Yes. Speaking of localization,
brings us to another really important point.
Part story.
We really want to talk about today.
Yes.
So, localization. Why is it so important? And how can you explain it to people who've never heard of it? What is it? And what's in it for me as a business if I go and get my stuff localized?
Do you know, now that you've asked the question, I was also hoping you were also going to provide the answer, because you're so much more eloquent at these things. And like, I can just feel myself, I can feel my jaw slacking like ever so slightly. You know, there's points when you get asked a really good question and all you want to do is go,
Could you answer?
What is localization?
Yeah. We've talked about this before, but like, explain it to somebody who hasn't heard of it.
So, localization is the dark art of making sure that the message you want to get across is as relatable and as close as possible in terms of the recipient's cultural experience and environment. So, to give you an example, and that's a really wishy-washy, kind of fluffy way of describing it. The best way I can explain localization is through a YouTube short that got sent to me the other day, and it really was a mind-blowing experience, because it was from my man Denzel Washington, one of my all-time favorite actors. Like I frequently say, I'd like a pillow made out of his voice.
Oh yeah, ideally.
I know you got a thing for Denzel. Most people have a thing for Denzel, and that's absolutely fine, because he's a good-looking cat, right? But the point is that he's a tremendous actor, what I do know of him, I find him to be extremely insightful and quite eloquent. And he said this. He was talking about a movie that he had been part of the production team on, and I think he'd even acted in. And he was at a press conference, and some reporter, a journalist, somebody of the profession, asked the question: why was it so important for a black person to direct this movie? Why couldn't it have been a white person? And he responded with, and this ties into localization, and again, I'm missing a lot of context, so I could be misquoting, but this is what I took from it. He said, It's not about color, it's about culture. Mm. And the example he gave was this. He said, look, he said, Steven Spielberg, a real force of movie making, and you know, for all of time he will be known, directed Schindler's List. Mm. An absolutely incredible movie. I assume most people listening to this will have watched Schindler's List at some point. I've watched it. I've tried rewatching it later in life, and I can't. It's because I can't. And he says, and Martin Scorsese, another giant of the film industry, produced Goodfellas. Mm. And the point Denzel makes is that Steven Spielberg could have probably directed Goodfellas and done a good job. And Martin Scorsese could have probably directed Schindler's List and done a good job. But what makes both movies, quote unquote, great, because I wouldn't use the word great to describe Schindler's List, for example, because it's much, much deeper and more tragic than that. But Goodfellas, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, it's a top 10 movie for me. Mm. And I'm a little bit of a movie buff, and I absolutely love it. And I know it word for word, and I'll still rewatch it just for the mise-en-scene and the lighting and so on and so forth, and just the actors. He says that it's the culture of the directors that made the movie so great. Mm. And that's when it dawned on me that that's what localization is. Whoever is responsible for localizing it has to be rooted within the culture for which you are getting the message across. If they're not, you're going to fuck it up. Case in point, I've never been to Australia. I share a common language with Australia, okay? Half the Australians quite like the fact that we have cultural ties. I've been given to understand that the other half really want us to fuck off and don't want anything more to do with us. I don't know much about it. But I couldn't, despite sharing a common language and common ancestry, because a lot of my relatives are down there, they must have been prisoners and got sent down.
I was going to say, criminals.
All those criminals, yeah, come from a... Yeah, sorry, bad joke. We'll edit that out. But the point is that I couldn't write for the Australian market, despite the fact that I share the language, heritage, and... to some extent, culture, but I'm not rooted in their cultures. I know the first fucking thing about life in Australia, and I would never pretend to. Same for South Africa, for example, or the same for the United States, to an extent. You know, we got married there, which was awesome. But what do I know about? I have American friends. What do I know about life in America? I can only write or localize as an Englishman, and to a certain extent, a European, because I do see myself as. First and foremost, I am English and I love my country, but I almost on the same level, I see myself as a European because I love living in Germany. I love Europe. For me, it's where the music's at. It's the best. Yeah. It's the best place to create a life in the world. That's just my opinion. I love Germany. I love France. I love Austria. But again, I couldn't localize for these countries, and I couldn't localize because having spent many years in Germany, I have a very good understanding of culture in Germany and relative to the different areas of Germany. Still couldn't localize for it because I'm not part of the fabric.
Also because it's been a while.
And it's been a while, yeah.
You know, we left Germany in 2010.
Mm.
And
that's a lifetime.
So, which is 14 years ago, almost to the day.
Yeah.
So 14 years, if you think about what happened 14 years ago, I mean... Lena Meyer-Landrut won the Eurovision Song Contest. Yeah. We still had BlackBerry.
I was just about to use the example of mobile phones.
I loved my BlackBerry because it had like individual
I remember.
Keys.
They were great.
They were great.
Do you remember the ones we had in Mexico as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really cool.
Yeah, I mean, 14 years ago, I remember we stayed at a hostel in Mexico and... all these American tourists there, we started chatting to in the end. They were all on these blue pages. And we're like, what are those?
Yes, of course.
Everyone seems to be looking at the same thing.
Yeah.
What is it? And we're like, Facebook, what? And that was 2009.
Yeah.
So 2010 we moved, and since then, like, everything's changed.
Yeah.
So for me to then go and pretend like I'm still part of the German fabric.
Yes.
Would be preposterous.
Yeah, sure.
So yes, that's why localization is so important, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this today. And we both love movies. Into like 1990s movies, and we love a bit of Denzel.
Love a bit of Morgan Freeman.
Oh yeah,
tremendous actors.
Yeah. So the importance of getting somebody who is actually part of the fabric
is
you can't underline that enough. Like.
Agreed.
if this podcast allowed you to like highlight.
Must be part of the cultural fabric. Yes. Okay. So by extension, you know, for customers, not for my customers, but for companies out there in general who have, say, got some great product material, some great marketing material, and they want to get it out there to an audience that is 600-700 miles away. Whatever you do, get people who are part of that cultural fabric to translate and localize. If translation is necessary, translate it, fine, but it needs to be localized.
Yeah.
And it cannot be done by a machine. And I want to say yet.
Yet,
but,
well.
But I think... I don't want to curse it, but I think that is decades off, because
yeah, people say 50 years. Well, yeah. I go down the rabbit hole, and I've done all the research there is at the moment in terms of AI and the dangers and the pitfalls and the future of AI and the future of humanity. Because if you feed everything into a machine, when is there a tipping point?
Yeah.
When can the machines think for themselves? Terminator.
What kind of rabbit holes have you been going down recently?
Many dark ones. And the cobwebs.
I was going to say.
No, but it's really interesting because, well, at the moment, machines can't really learn from culture because we have to feed them first. Sure. But there will be a time when you can prompt them, think like a... German, think like a Brit.
You've been on the sauce already. It's 10:42 in the morning.
Think like a Brit, or think like a black person in America, or, you know, because they will have so much information about what it actually means and all the nuances. That it will eventually, I think, in a few decades' time, be extremely localizable. Right. Through machines.
Okay.
Think like a person from Hamburg.
Really?
That's what I believe, and that's what I've come to understand. But we're miles away. So at the moment, the message being, what works for you in Glasgow doesn't necessarily work on the other side of the island.
Absolutely.
It doesn't need to have the same ring to it.
Absolutely.
To your message in Poole.
Yes.
What works in Munich doesn't work in Hamburg. Use local accents. Absolutely. Use local... And plays on words and traditions.
Yes, and attitudes. Broadly speaking, they're vastly different from one end of the country to the other.
Yeah.
They're a funny lot up in Glasgow, to be honest. I don't think anybody from Glasgow is listening to this. When there was, it was fine. I was only there for 24 hours and it was fine. Nothing to say.
There we go.
Jobs are good. I would say to cap it there, that's my message on localization and any company out there, and we've banged on about this before. If you want to establish a reputation, a good reputation, with a prospective customer base in another country, you must hire people who are part of that society. Okay? Mm-hmm. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's about creating an emotional connection between the prospective customer and the thing it is you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Do not put it through a machine. Do not be told that an Englishman can write sales material for the Canadian market.
Yeah.
Just can't. I've translated a lot of material for Canada in the form of standard operating procedures or contracts.
You can write a good text and you can tell a bad text from a good text, of course.
But I couldn't sell to the Canadians if my life depended on it because I don't know the culture.
Yeah.
So that's it. Anyway,
I haven't lived there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jobs are good. Good. Wow, that was quite an abrupt ending, wasn't it? But it's awesome. It's always a giggle with you. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got to say goodbye officially because people are watching this.
I don't know when you start and when you stop.
Well, we haven't stopped yet. This is brilliant. Let's keep this rolling.
Oh,
this is how edgy and real it is. Right, okay. We'll say until the next time, everyone. Got to look at the camera. Loads of love.
Bye.
Mama. Bye.